Taking the marketing approach on your job hunt will improve your presentation and increase your chances of success. There is more to a job application than just sending your information to a company and hope for the best. You're listening to the Pointers in 10 podcast, your insights in tech, career, personal brand, and tips for nailing your next interview. I am your host, Lily Edina Mbuche. We have been 2 seasons in, and here is season 3. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on where in the world you're listening to us. Today, I'll be speaking to Joel Anderman, who is going to share with us on our small or mini CV clinic. Joel is studying MSc Business Analytics as a Chevening Scholar. He's a pharmacist and has addressed over 2,500 people physically and virtually on the topic of career navigation and assisted hundreds of individuals in optimizing their resumes, LinkedIn profiles, interview preparation, job hunt strategy, and any other thing career through his startup named Productivity Optimizer. Joel, I'm happy to be speaking to you today. And it's exciting because these are things we talk about every day when we get in touch. Yep. And I'm happy that we're able to amplify it for the audience to get to learn from you. So maybe I left something out of your bio that you think people should know, maybe a fun fact. Can you tell us what a fun fact is for you?
My fun facts. Well, thank you for having me anyway. And I really appreciate the kind gesture. One fun fact about me is that I'm a bald man. I started balding at age 20. So that's a fun fact for me. Yeah. And then another one is that I've never been to a CV clinic before, ironically.
Interesting. Okay, yeah. So tell us how you got to know everything you've learned about CVs and how it's brought you this far. So we'll ask a question to launch us straight into the conversation. In simple terms, what is the CV and what is not a CV? Is there anything that stands out for you?
For me, it boils down to, you know, understanding that as an individual, you would have to sell yourself one way or the other. And your CV is more like your selling document. People have various definitions. You come to the UK, they would say CV. You go to the US, they would say resumes. The bottom line is that it is something that, or it's a document that you can use to sell yourself, basically telling them about what you've been doing over the course of your professional life. And, you know, some personal aspects can come in as well. So that's what a CV is supposed to help you achieve.
Interesting. Because you mentioned you've never been to a career clinic, how did you get to know all that you know about CVs?
I'd say that it was more of curiosity. Because the first time I fixed the CV, just like most graduates would do or most students would do, I was chasing after a template and then I just put in my details and submitted it for a job. But I realized I landed a job not because of the CV, but it was because of my networking and, you know, some kind of positions that I held that gave me access to land that job. And following that, I told myself that I was going to, you know, probe further because it was something that was never touched in school. Was not touched on in school, not at all. A year later, that was my third year. So a year later, I had a chance to rework my CV. My big sister was in Oxford by then, and she sent me a template and also some, you know, some information about how she structured her resume and all of that. And I found that very interesting. So I went on a learning path. The rest was more of Googling, YouTubing, reading articles, and most importantly, testing my ideas on people's CVs. So I gave it out for free and then eventually it became a business.
Wow, interesting. I like that you mentioned, I like that you mentioned that for you, CVs weren't taught in school and you took it upon yourself to learn. And to a large extent, you even had mentorship from your big sister. Let me ask you something with regard structure, design, and content. What makes a worthy CV in your opinion? Is it the structure, is it the design, or is it content?
That's a very interesting question. Normally, when I'm talking about CVs, I tend to break it into 3 different phases, right? We have the structure, we have the content, and we have the context. The least thing, although it's important, right? The least thing you should be worrying about is the structure of the resume, although it's important. So understanding that, I mean, recently I posted the resume template that I've been using for free that people can access, can have access to. So the link is bit.ly, then /the CV template. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'll also add it to the show notes for people to access.
Exactly. So a good structure is one that will help you have the right clarity. So you have enough white spaces. When someone looks at the document, they should see how organized you are. You don't have typos. When someone looks at the document, whether it's a recruiter or anybody assessing an application that you applied to, they should be able to know that you pay attention to details because you have no typos. So that, in addition to the font size and the type of font and all of that, it's a whole big, topic to talk about. But I've been able to box all of that up into comments on the resume document that I shared. So if you're able to access that and download it, you'd see all those comments. It has some guiding comments as to the size, the font size, the colors to use, the type of font to use, the spacing, you know, the sections and all of that. So basically your resume structure should say a lot about you. It should look very good, and then it should have some form of brevity so that you don't end up having about 3 pages, 4 pages resume. For me, the rule for me is to have between 1 to 2 pages, but obviously the requirements of whoever is employing you, it's what you should stick to. So if they mention that you should submit a 1-page CV, make sure you're submitting a 1-page CV. If they mention that you should submit in a Word or PDF format, make sure you're submitting it in the right format.
Interesting. So to you, there is content and there's context over structure, right?
Yes, but structure is equally important. Just that content and context, most importantly.
Interesting. So you're going to delve deeper into content because you mentioned it's one of the most important things. And so what should we capture on a CV? When I was in class 6, I led a choreography in school. That does make a good point on my CV. When I was in class 5, I volunteered to clean my hood. You know, that also make a good point on a CV. Exactly what should we be capturing on CVs?
Okay, that's a very good point. A CV would have, a good CV, an excellent CV, would have, different sections. Okay, when it comes to the most basic sections that at least you should have, it may vary based on your qualifications or your level of practice or how many years of experience you have. So you could have your professional summary. So just like how you have an abstract in a research document, before you read your research document, you look at the abstract to give you an overview of, okay, what is this document talking about? It gives you a very brief summary of everything. That's what your professional summary is supposed to do. It's supposed to be like that elevator pitch that whenever a recruiter looks at your resume, they understand the value you are bringing to the table. And that means that part of the CV is well tailored. Apart from the professional summary, you want to highlight your educational section, which talks about your educational background, what programs have you studied, what courses have you taken, and so on and so forth. Because there are sometimes these influence, the decisions by hiring managers and recruiters and all of that, especially in the tech space. And then you may also want to consider a skills section. So what I normally advise people is that you can categorize the skills to make it easy. You can talk about technical skills. You can talk about technology or software skills. So when you're able to categorize the skills into these two sections, whoever is reviewing your resume finds it easy to, filter out the skills so that everything is not all lumped up and then now they have to be sorting it out. So that also feeds into, that making it easy for the recruiter. And it enhances their experience as well when they are reviewing your resume, There's also the work experience section where you talk to a recruiter about your job title, where you've worked, the location, and most importantly, the timestamps, within what period, the month and then the year, to the starting month and year to the ending month and year. So the work experience section is supposed to, sell you. Basically, you are going to talk about what you've done over the years that you've been working, or even if you're not working, the kind of voluntary work that you've immersed yourself in, the kind of projects that you involved yourself in. And I would come down to that particular section again. Other things that you may want to include are maybe your licenses, certifications, and mind you, the difference between online courses, certificates, right? Certificates you get from online courses and certifications is that certifications are globally accepted qualifications where you have to attain them after writing a particular examination. An example is maybe an ACCA or Chartered Insurance Practitioner, HR practitioners. There are so many professions that do have these certifications. So you don't want to list an online certificate, or a certificate from an online course on or in your licenses and certifications section. That is kind of not right. So just take note of that. Also, if you are someone who is licensed like me, I'm a pharmacist, I'll put in my certification, as in my license ID and all of that in that section. And all of this is included in the CV templates that I shared. So you can take a look at that. Delving back into the work experience, that's where most of your content resides. Okay, mm-hmm. I've come across a lot of resumes where people tend to write their roles and responsibilities in the resume. Trust me, whichever recruiter is reviewing your resume, they know what a pharmacist does. If they are recruiting for the healthcare space, they know what a doctor does. They know what a software engineer does. You know, they understand that space. So that opportunity that you are getting with your resume is to sort of tell them why they should pick you. And that means you are going to highlight your quantified achievements over the period of years that you've been working. Or let me say over the volunteering work that you've engaged in and all of that. There are cases where you are just a student and you've been able to engage yourself in some activity, some voluntary work. So you may want to highlight that as well. So what I'll be taking us through would be how to go about quantification, right? How to go about quantification. It's a very important thing. So just imagine a world without numbers, right? You, for example, stand on a weighing scale and then the weighing scale tells you heavy or lightweight or midweight. Or you pull up at a bank and then you ask them for your statement, or even you generate your statement via software or something. And then you check your balance and then all you see is low account balance, medium account balance, high account balance. Or you go and withdraw money from the ATM and then on the money, they've written heavy money or they've written light money. You know, what the point I'm trying to put across is that numbers help us to, you know, put things into perspective. They help us to see an objective view to things. $10 in Ghana, if you take that same money, that same note with 10 written on it to the US, it's the same value. Everybody understands that it's $10. Okay, because it's kind of standardized. So that's the power of numbers. Numbers help you to understand your progress. They help you to quantify your scope of work. They help you to, you know, exhibit your performance. Without numbers, you wouldn't be able to figure out all of these. And that's why in school, we have a grade point system. We have a GPA, or we have a CWA system, all to sort of what help us understand our performance and, you know, how well we are putting in the work in school or at the workplace, etc. So one major trick, I wouldn't say a trick, but one major principle that you can apply is to first of all look at the roles and responsibilities. What things do you do at work on a regular basis? List them down and then identify countable nouns within those statements. So for example, you are supposed to attend to customers. You're a customer service person and you're supposed to attend to customers on a daily basis. How many customers are you attending to on a daily basis? That's like the baseline, the basic thing that you can do. That's you identifying accountable noun, which is customer in this context, and then adding numbers to these countable nouns. So anything that is a countable noun should be numbered or quantified. You may later find out that some of them are not necessary to document on your resume, but there was some time that I came across this post on Twitter, which said, you can get your degree and then you wouldn't use it in the end, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't get the degree, because it's better to get the degree, the university degree, and then not use it in the end, than later go into the future and then realize that you need a degree, but you never took it. That's worse off. Okay, so it boils back down to you being able to quantify these things, identifying the countable nouns and then quantifying them. That's the first step. The second thing is to sort of add timelines if it's important. So there are some of the tasks that you do on a weekly basis. There are some tasks that you do on a monthly basis, bi-monthly, annually. So maybe you are someone who develops reports for your company. You should tell us how many reports you are generating. Is it per week? Is it per month? You need to indicate those timelines for us to put a perspective to what you are giving us. That, okay, this is how much work you are able to do within this particular period of time. So mostly the time is important. And I'll come back to the time again later in the discussion. The next thing I'd want you to ask yourself is that, find out, what does success mean to you at work? Do you understand how whatever you are doing at work contributes to the organization's growth, no matter how small it is? If you are maybe working as an administrative executive, you may feel like, oh, okay, you're not on the field doing any form of sales. You're not bringing money to the company directly and all of that. But your work is very, very important, because assuming that you are the one supporting these salespeople with regards to their administrative tasks and all of that, it's something that is worth highlighting. Because if the salespeople are not getting the right mindset and they're not getting that right administrative support, it would affect their performance on the field. And that affects the company's revenue. So you need to understand what success looks like in your role. And by understanding what success looks like in your role, that is when you start delving into your own metrics, right? You ask yourself, how are you causing change in the company? So by change, we mean that you are either improving the situation, the current situation of the company, or you are solving problems for the company. And most things revolve around problem solving. In fact, if you want to be very valuable as an employee, it boils down to problem solving.
We are pausing here on our mini CV clinic and we'll conclude on the next episode. Catch you. Thanks to you, our listener, for listening to today's episode. In the spirit of community and finding answers together, I'll catch you on the next episode of Pointers and 10. Remember to share, subscribe, and leave us a review at anchor.fm/pointers-in-10. The same is linked in our show notes above.